You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Michael McNamara in back in the studio of all places. Yeah, how about that? So, good Monday morning to you. After traveling all day on Saturday, I finally got home late Saturday night, and I'm happy to be home, honestly. Yeah, it's nice to be home. Get to hang out with Jack and Joe. Yeah. So, it's all good. It's all good. So, good Monday morning to you. Hope you're having a good morning wherever the hell you are. And, yeah, it's nice to be back home. I don't know what to say now. It's been too long. I don't know what to do anymore. Alex Holling is going to join us today. Tiger Woods won the Masters. I could tell you about my adventure traveling the country on Saturday. And so, anywho, but mostly it's nice to be home. And then looking forward to head back east in about 2 weeks from. A week from tomorrow? No, 2 weeks from tomorrow, I think. I'm not sure. No, it's 2 weeks from tomorrow. Yeah, so yeah, I got a little time to play with. So, anywho, I get an email that I'll share with you here in a little bit, and. It's one of the things I tell people now, but that I get contacted, I would tell you, on a daily basis by people that have heard post-traumatic winning, and on what was it, on Friday? Yeah, on Friday, I had a Marine come up to me at the when I was finishing up the, I had finished post-traumatic winning and at the Marine South Expo, and I was hanging out a little bit, and he looks up to me, he comes up to me and he says, "Hey, sir, I saw your thing in January, and it changed my life." And he's staff sergeant. And so I just sat there and talked to him. And he talked about, you know, what he'd kind of been through in Afghanistan, how deeply it affected him, and how he was struggling. It happens to me, you know, on a daily basis. That happened to me. Another guy saw me out in town, and he came up to me and he talked about how he was the night before he saw it in January. The night before he saw it, that he had gone through some stuff with his wife, and he said, and all of a sudden the next day I'm in your class, and you know, he said, I know we all want to attach some kind of cosmic significance to it, but the timing of it for me anyway was unbelievable. And so you know, I've learned that, you know, when people come up to you like that, you know, you just need to listen to them, because the experience that they've had and what makes them approach you, a virtual stranger, them, and talk about things that they don't talk about in their life with anybody, are deeply profound to them. So you just stand there and you do a lot of listening. And he was talking about how, you know, devastating their marital stuff was, and that he thought the only reason he didn't do anything stupid was because he sat through that class. And then on Saturday, I got this email, and the names obviously are changed to protect the innocent, but I'll share it with you because it's unbelievable. So again, imagine, let's see. Yeah, I'm getting ready to go to the airport Saturday morning. Okay, it's about 7 o'clock Eastern time, 4 o'clock Pacific time. And and this pops into my email, my inbox. Mac, I've seen your post-traumatic winning presentation twice now, once in January and this last Wednesday. 2 years ago, my brother went into cardiac arrest while I was in his MOS school. My whole life crashed. He isn't my blood brother, but he basically raised me in replacement of an absent father and a brother who was in and out of jail. Anyway, for 2+ years now, I have struggled to get through this. My brother laid on his deathbed for 2 weeks and passed away just the week before I graduated. I got to my unit and they made the exception to send me home for 2 days to go to the funeral. I showed up in my blues, and mom, not his real mom, but another woman, hit her knees. I thought wearing my blues would be so perfect because he never got to see me in uniform at all. As I spoke upon my brother, I saw a tough crowd of bikers and veterans. They all listened to me, tried to keep my words strong. As I said, if not for John, I had the choice of enlisting or going to jail, and I got a standing ovation. It should have felt good, right? But all I can think back is that he never got a chance to see me in uniform. He never will see me get married. He will never see me become a father in the footsteps of his example. Then they flew me home, and I was told, you're going back to Okinawa for 6 months. I thought, okay. So I took my pre-deployment leave and slept every night, piss drunk next to his headstone. I cried and cried and cried some more. I got back from leave and decided life was pointless. I was at my lowest. Then I deployed. The whole deployment, I was depressed and more depressed. The day we set foot in America happened to be the day he died. It was tough yet again. Then I let a year go by, got married, struggle with depression so severely and so hopelessly. Then January comes around. I was ready to end myself just 2 weeks before your class. I took your class at Camp Johnson, bought the book, and now my life has done a flop, brother. My marriage is getting better. My heart isn't as heavy. I see purpose in life again. I have preached your story about your class, Mac. I'd like to thank you for helping save my life. I'm sorry this is so long. And what do you do after you read that? Right? I mean, holy shit. So, you know, you just trying to get ready to go to the airport, right, with tears in your eyes and a happy heart. And so emailing back, say, hey, man, I'm traveling today, but we need to talk. And so he and I are going to talk tonight. But, you know, it's just, this experience is unbelievable, honestly. And it gets that way more so as every day goes by, as young people across the Marine Corps and other places that I've done it, as they reach out to their friends. And it's just, honestly, it's just absolutely positively amazing. And, you know, like I said, that's in the space of 3 days. That's three different guys who either saw me and came up to me or, you know, emailed me. And so it's just, it's incredibly humbling, and I can't tell how gratifying is it, right, to change people's lives. And I think anybody who listens knows that, I mean, it's so cool to do it. And it's so cool because the lessons all come out of our culture, our Marine culture, and so it's just the best. It's just the best. So I thought I'd share that with you. And to start your Monday off on a good note, and. And I just want to encourage you, you know, if you haven't downloaded those two goals and eight commandments, soon to be nine. I think there's going to be a ninth commandment. Yeah, I do. I'm not sure how to amplify the role that discipline plays in a good life. And the role of self-discipline, right? Not somebody's external discipline, but your own self-discipline. I'm not sure how to amplify that, and maybe it's the ninth commandment. Thou shalt be disciplined. It is a hugely positive force and pushes back against, like, all the chaos that life can throw at you. So if you're self-disciplined, if you're, you know, and again, if you listen to the program, you've heard me say, I don't care if you're an artist or an athlete or a garbage man or a CEO, you can't be successful unless you're disciplined. Unless you have disciplined habits, whether they be fitness or reading or self-improvement, you have to. And so it's such a positive force in life. It needs a more prominent place, I think. So, but anyway, if you have my point being this, if you haven't downloaded those to your phone, you need to do that. And I tell everybody when I speak, you know, you'll change somebody's life in the next 30 days. Because the other thing I've learned, and I keep learning it, I don't keep learning it. It keeps being reinforced to me over and over again. And that is, there is so much pain out there. The stuff people tell me, you know, that I talk about on this program, from being, you know, being raped as a child, to watching your child die, right, to wanting to kill yourself for whatever reason. It's amazing. It's just amazing what people live with. And, you know, and they're in your midst, I promise you. They're absolutely in your midst. And so, download those things to your phone. I promise you that you will use them. So on that note, let me read you an email here. Are you kidding me? Welcome home, and what an incredible story. You probably could have flown by yourself from North Carolina to California after reading that. Just made my morning sitting here listening to this. Well done, Mac. Well done. And welcome home. I'm sure Jack and Joe were happy to have you home. Well, as a matter of fact, they were. Right? There's a certain meter to life, right? And they both, and when I'm not around, right, that life changes substantially. So life is right again. Life is right again. United States Marine Corps band makes this morning official. Tax day, don't you know? We'll talk about it. So good morning to you. Welcome home. Even though I'm the only one that came home, but welcome home. Dedicated to a lieutenant, a staff sergeant, and a corporal who approached me late last week and talked to me about how deeply their lives were changed by sitting through post-traumatic way. So God bless you guys. Thanks for coming up and saying something. And keep doing what you're doing. But most importantly, right, keep using what you know to change other people's lives.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines,
it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check the weather on a Monday. Tax day. Yeah, come on. Tax day. Currently it is cloudy and 62 in Quantico with 3 weather alerts, which means we've got to check them out. That's right, it breaks squelch when we hit 3. So, what's going on in Quantico? There's actually 4. Fake news with 3. There's a wind advisory, there's a gale warning, there's a small craft advisory, and there's a pollen alert. Yeah, looking for high today of 63 with winds in the area. So there you have it. It is cloudy and 69 at Camp Lejeune. Beautiful Camp Lejeune. I'm actually starting to find my way around there a little bit. Yeah, I don't understand it though. In my brain, I don't understand it, as my son would say. It's cloudy in 61 in Granbury, Texas. It's cloudy in 50 at Camp Pendleton. Cloudy in 56 in 29 Palms. Dark cloudy in 67 in Okinawa, so it's cooled off there a little bit. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, it is sunny and 82 late in the day. So, warming up in Iraq. And Afghanistan was the hot spot, but it's cooled off a little bit. The Helmand province is sitting at cloudy and 66. And at the home of All Marine Radio, currently is cloudy and 54 degrees. Cooling off today in the low 70s yesterday. And today, looking for a high of 66, 65 tomorrow, and 72 on Wednesday. That's right. The 50s, that stuff is, come on, get that crap out of here. One other programming note, show only going to be 2 hours today. That's right. I'm doing a little experiment this week. Tomorrow, it'll start an hour later, too. So, Yeah, All Marine Radio adjusting its schedule for the first time in 3 years. Yeah. As I get busier and more demands on my time, I've got to kind of find a balance in here. So we're going to do some experimenting. And speaking of experiments, don't touch that dial. Don't experiment with your dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network, celebrating being home on a Monday in the corporate studios in beautiful Costa Mesa, California.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and hope in me. This heartbreak, I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I'll scream, yeah.
Davis. Yeah, I said the other day, that song, even listening to that song has changed for me too. Yeah, no kidding. how's it changed? Just so much pain out there, man. It's unbelievable. I mean, even for me, you would think that you would somewhat get used to it, right? The things people walk up and say. No, man, it's just life's rough, man. Let me tell you a cool story. So I'm in Granbury, and after I do the thing at City Council, at the City Hall, I we're standing around talking to people like happens every time, and so police officer's name is Jesse. I can't remember his last name, and he says, "You know how I heard about this?" I said, "No." He said, "My son stationed 29 Palms. He told me about it. He listens." I was like, "What?" He said, "Yep." He said, "My kid said, hey, man, you got to go to this." How awesome is that? Yeah, you know what? And again, even a year ago, when people would, I'd be someplace, like at the modern day Marine thing, right? So I went to that, I think out here. And, you know, people would introduce me, you know, this is Mike McNamara. He does All Marine Radio. Oh, really? What is that? Well, guess what? They've heard about it now. Yeah, it's awesome. It's like, this is Mike McNamara. He's from All Marine. Oh, I haven't listened to that? I'm like, yes, yes. Winning is a good thing, okay? No matter what anybody tells you, winning is a good thing. So, yeah, but it was, you know, just things that make you smile, right? So he heard about it from his son. Hey, you got to go to this. All right, man. All right. Relax. And I'll tell you one other thing. I don't know how much I talked about it because, I mean, the last couple weeks, I won't say they're a blur because, you know, between the travel and making sure that everything's right for the, you know, when you do it, you know, it's a lot of stuff every day. And so, but I got to hang out with Sergeant Major Booker, Jim Booker, in Texas. And he's just a good dude, man. He's a good guy, and hadn't seen him in 15 years since we were in Ramadi. And, he's doing good, and, he's got a big beard. He's got a beard now. And, but he came, and you know, one thing that's really cool is, you know, you hang out with Marines, and you just see the way Marines are. And whether you're on active duty or retired, there's this kind of a meter that, you know, and especially guys like Sergeant Majors like Booker, you know, they're gifted. They speak, they habla, man. They walk up, and I don't care what era you're from, you know, they say two sentences, and it's like you served together your whole life. So it was really cool. It was cool. So anyway, we're supposed to check the news right about now. So we'll do that. Tiger Woods, 14 years, won the Masters yesterday. Now, I'm not a big Tiger Woods fan. He seems like a really dorky dude to me. And I don't know that, like, he would hang out or fit in with my friends. Because he seems like just a weird kid, right? That his dad, turned him into a goof. Yeah. Which is weird, because dad's an Army Sergeant Major. You'd think he'd be like a normal guy. But evidently he's kind of a weird kid, right? And so, but you know what? He's been through a lot. And you know what? One thing I love about life is redemption. I think redemption is a good thing, right? And so he's been through so much, both. I mean, a lot, most of it's self-inflicted, no doubt about that. But, you know, when somebody's on the comeback, and also they have to do it in such a public way that they have to take everybody's feeding it to them. So I didn't watch any of it. I didn't watch any of the NCAA basketball tournament, and I didn't watch any of the Masters. I just heard about it yesterday because I was kind of doing – actually, you know what? I was cleaning. All right, so I'm cleaning. I'm cleaning because if you listen to the program, you know that when I'm happy, I clean. So, yeah. So I'm being happy yesterday. Actually, what I was doing was I was putting all my stuff away. And what happened is there was weather. There was weather in around Charlotte. So what happened was the flight in front of mine got canceled. I don't know why. Maybe because there was something wrong with the plane. I don't know. But anyhow, it got canceled. So I'm like, whoa. And then the plane that I was supposed to fly on at like 11 doesn't show. It's like 3 hours late. And evidently couldn't get out of Charlotte. So I'm like, but you know what? I wasn't worried because I had all kinds of time. Like, I got time. And so, so I missed my connecting flight because it was that late. I get there. And we finally get on the flight and we sit on the tarmac. We're sorry for the delay, but we're being rerouted and we're having to rework the route and we might have to take on additional fuel. We appreciate your patience. Yeah, I didn't know they were doing it by carrier pigeon. So you just sit there. I mean, what are you going to do? You sit there and you're like, pfft. But anyway, I think I have time. Now we sit there long enough. I know. It's like, I even got a warning, right? Text alert. You may miss your connection. So I land and my flight was supposed to leave at 2:40. It's 3:30 and I check in at the gate and they say, no, it's still at the gate. It hasn't left yet. I was like, good. Then the weather delayed everything. So just as I get there, when I got there, the door was shut, but the plane was still there. And I walked up to the counter. I said, could you please call the plane back? I'm supposed to be on it. And they look at me and they said, we can't do that. I said, well, it's right there. Right? Like, you can do it. I'm sure you got a radio, right? No. And then they said, we can't do that. We're sorry. And I said, okay. So then they put me on another flight. But I was supposed to fly into Orange County, and the other flight got me to LAX, which I was like all about. Because Orange County, not everybody flies here. Blah, 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 blah. I got to go through Phoenix and this, that, and the other thing. So I said, nope, get me to LAX. And Catherine came and picked me up because she's a great daughter. And so then I had to deal with my suitcase. But see, what I was excited about was I'll get up Sunday morning. At some point, my suitcase will get to Orange County, which is 5 minutes from my house. Pop over, get my suitcase, wash my clothes, put everything away, get my life back in order. So I get this message, you know, your luggage is en route. I look, it's on flight 2044. I look up 2044, Phoenix to LAX. I'm like, shit. And then I thought, you know what, why would they do that? And then I thought, no, like as a rule, your luggage should follow. Should your luggage go to your initial destination? Because that's where you're going. Or should it go to where you were rerouted to? Yeah, I had a lengthy internal discussion about that. My thought was that it should go to its initial destination. That's where my ticket says. That's where my bag should go. And it's 5 minutes from my house. But then I thought, no, I mean, if they reroute you, then that's where you're at. So your luggage should follow to where you are. So I understood it, although I contemplated on sending an email. So anyway, got up, me, Joe, and Jack, drove up to LAX. Got to the airport, parked my car, walked across the street, found the luggage carousel. Guess who's guess whose bag is the first bag off the plane? That's right. I know, like, okay, this is going to be a good day. God's liking me today. Normally he doesn't, you know? And so that's the way it's working. The, so I take my bag and I'm happy. I throw it in the truck. Me, Jack and Joe cruising down the 405, go back home, and then I go through this peaceful transition of cleaning and putting my stuff away. Oh my God. Talk about the happiest kid in the world. Don't ask me why. I don't know, because like there's no external forces impacting me. It's just me cleaning, putting stuff away, washing my stuff, putting the cords back where they belong, right? Putting my laptop where it belongs, making sure it has power. Yeah, all of that. I know it's a little creepy, Mac, but it's the way I do it. So I'm just happy, man. And I had the Yankee game on. And then I heard Michael Kay, who does TV for the Yankees, said, "You just heard a cheer go up." That cheer was because Tiger Woods has just won the Masters. So that's how I knew he won the Masters. I did not watch. So then after that, my front yard, I mowed it before I left 2 weeks ago, but the weather got warm here, or at least in the 70s, and with all the rain, the grass grew. So, which is fine. My lawn looked okay, but it looked ratty because before I left, I didn't edge it. That's right. I didn't edge it. So I thought, you know what? I need to go out and just edge it. After I edged it, I thought, okay, I can sweep it all up, right? It would probably take me the same amount of time to mow it as sweep it. So I'm out mowing it, and my next door neighbor, Rick, who's a Vietnam guy, right? He was an A-4 pilot in Vietnam. So Rick comes out over to talk to me, and so we kind of shoot the shit for a little bit. And so then I finished edging the lawn. Let's mow this thing. So I mowed it. And so long day of cleaning, yard maintenance. My front yard looks good, though. I'll go get Colleen later on today. I get to see Colleen for the first time in a couple weeks, so fired up about that. Colleen's actually driving now. She had gone through the process to get her permit, so I texted her yesterday morning. I said, "Are you awake?" I was going to let her drive on the freeway to LAX. Hey, why ease them into it when you could throw them right into it? That's right. Let's see. I wanted to share with you a story, and a number of people have emailed me this story, but for whatever reason, there's been a series of suicides over the last week, 10 days, on the campuses, on the VA campuses across, two in Texas, two in Georgia, one in Texas. This story, hundreds witness veterans shoot and kill himself in a VA waiting room. A horrific scene unfolded this last Tuesday in a waiting room in Austin, Texas, when a veteran reportedly shot himself to death in front of hundreds of witnesses. Despite the commotion, many in the building remained unaware of what had occurred for some time after the shooting. One group therapy class even continued for almost an hour after the shot was fired. Quote, "All of a sudden over the intercom, they have this statement about everyone must clear the building, including staff, so it was a little surprising," a veteran told local news. The hospital was in lockdown. Someone posted a photograph of a gurney and a bunch of people standing around, some hugging, some physicians in the area, and some cops with yellow police tape. Between October of 2017 and November of 2018, 19 veterans died by suicide on the grounds of VA medical facilities in what some believe to be acts of protesting inadequate treatment by the country they served. In December, Colonel Jim Turner, we talked about this story, put on his service uniform, drove to the Bay Pines Department of Veterans Affairs and shot himself outside the medical center, leaving a note next to his body. Quote, "I bet if you look at the 22 suicides a day, you'll see VA screwed up in 90%, it read. Less than a week ago, two veterans from Georgia killed themselves in separate incidents outside VA hospital. Quote, "For military veterans, access to weapons and familiarity with weapons make it too easy," Jack Swope, a licensed professional counselor with Austin Samaritan Center. Well, Jack, let me ask your dumbass this. There's what, 3 million? I can't remember. How many million guns are in the United States? Not 3 million. It's a few more than that. Right? Right? And all those people have access to weapons. They're certainly familiar with how to use them. Why isn't the suicide rate higher? Oh, maybe they get care that they need. Oh, shit. Maybe they don't have the turbulence in their care system that we have in ours. Oh, shit. He went on. There's a scheduling problem. Part of it is a matter of accessibility, getting there, and frankly, part of it is a matter of finances and cost. That's right. We don't like to talk about it, but the VA, the DOD, low bidders. And then you hear this, right? This is from the VA. Healthcare facilities now provide same-day urgent services in primary and mental health for veterans, in primary care and mental health for veterans who need them at no cost. VA is seeing more patients than ever before, more quickly than ever before, and studies show VA now compares favorably to the private sector for access and quality of care, and in many cases exceeds it. Cashar added that the VA completed 623,000 more internal appointments in fiscal year 18 than 17 while seeing positive outcomes of its suicide prevention efforts. In spite of those efforts, the veteran suicide rate has climbed. Despite the proclamations, the VA came under fire following a December General Accounting Office report that revealed only 57,000 of the VA's 6.2 million suicide prevention media budget, or less than 1%, had actually been used. Recent government reports show that 530 veterans in Texas died by suicide alone in 2016. That number equates to a suicidal likelihood that is double that exists in the general population. So, anyway. I think they need more post-traumatic winning, man. That's what I think. Yep. A couple of the stories. Alex Holling's going to join us in about 10 minutes. And again, the show's only 2 hours today. So, doing a little experiment. It'll start at 8 o'clock Pacific tomorrow, too. I'll put up a little reminder, but just for anybody who's looking for it tomorrow at 7 o'clock Pacific, it's moving a little bit. On a sad note, not that the previous story wasn't sad enough for you, all right? A Marine whose book about the grueling jungle combat during World War II became the basis of the HBO miniseries The Pacific has died in his home in Texas. Services are being held Friday for R.V. Bergen. His daughter, Maggie Shepherd, says her father was 96 and he died in his sleep on April 6. Bergen wrote the book Islands of the Damned, A Marine at War in the Pacific. It is one of several books that inspired the HBO miniseries Pacific, The Pacific, that premiered in 2010. Shepherd says her father, for about 35 years, never talked about his service in the war. She says he was inspired to write a book after attending some military reunions. Got to talk about it, man. Got to talk about it. It's interesting. And again, I say this in the class, but you know, the Marines, they don't talk about it, right? They don't talk about it. And so, what was an appropriate way to get that out, right? And an appropriate way to get the story out was write about it. That's what Sledge did. That's what Manchester did, right? I'm looking at R.V. Bergen. I want to read about him. Here's his website. You can hear him describe his combat stories in the Pacific War. Never before seen photographs of him. Let's see if we can find the Wikipedia page devoted to him, and we'll see where he was. I'm interested. Born in Jewett, Texas. He died in Lancaster, Texas, on April 6th. Awarded the Bronze Star, the Purple Heart, a number of other decorations. Units, 1st Marine Division, 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, and the 5th Marine Regiment. Here he is on Wikipedia. This is what I was looking for. Military career. He joins the Marine Corps in November of 1942, was assigned to the 9th Replacement Battalion, soon became a mortarman in Kilo Company. What? That's Sledge. Right? He fought in the Pacific War at Cape Gloucester, and then, because Sledge wasn't at Cape Gloucester, alongside his friend Eugene Sledge on Peleliu and Okinawa. Bergen was promoted to the rank of sergeant upon reaching Okinawa. He's the author of the memoir Islands of the Damned, A Marine at War in the Pacific. He was awarded a Bronze Star for actions in the Battle of Okinawa when he destroyed a Japanese machine gun emplacement that had his company pinned down. He also was going to be awarded the Silver Star by Captain Andrew Haldane for taking out a pillbox in Peleliu, but Haldane was killed by sniper fire before he could submit it. After the war, he went to work for the United States Post Office. While in Melbourne, Bergen met an Australian woman named Florence Risley. They married in Dallas on January 29, 1947. The couple had 4 daughters. There you have it. Bougainville, man. The stories that you read about Bougainville, the rain and just the conditions, unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, and again, the other part of this that's unbelievable is that that Bergen and Sledge would both write books that would become huge, huge pieces of Marine Corps history, both coming from the same company, the same mortar section. In Kilo Company, they're a company mortar section, not even a battalion. Yeah, that's my son's old company. Yeah, call sign for that company now that everybody has call signs. Call sign is Sledgehammer. How cool is that? Yeah, that's no kidding either. You know, I'll tell you another thing that makes me smile every time I see it. When you look at World War II Marines, and I'm looking at Bergen's picture right now. He's got his Bronze Star with Combat V, Purple Heart. He's got his Good Conduct Medal. And then he's got his kind of I Was There stuff in the Pacific War. Looks like Presidential Unit Citation times 3. You look at pictures of Marines in World War II, and I don't know where we got this short hair and uniformity thing, but in World War II, man, there's no two. You can't find two people wearing the same uniform. It's impossible. And every one of them, like, has more hair, right, than you can shake a stick at, man. It is absolutely, positively unbelievable. I have to read Island of the Damned, and I have to find the audio from him, and you will hear from R.B. Bergen in his own words later this week. All right, let me just do the top five stories in Early Bird real quick. I can't tell you how happy I am to be home. And again, next week, I head up to 29 Palms to go do post-traumatic winning for, I think, Sergeant. They have a Sergeant's course up there. So I'll do it for them. And then the following week, back to Quantico to do it at the Commander's course, the Capstone Commander's course. That's right. That's a big deal, just in case you don't know. Yeah, stand by there, boys and girls. Top five stories in Early Bird real quick. Alex Holling set to join us next. Some families of the Fitzgerald 7 frustrated by the decision to drop criminal charges. I'm going to put a link. A buddy of mine sent, Napa Man actually, sent me a link to the, should I put it on the read board? I'll put it on the read board. Of how, once again, right, the reason that the charges are being dropped, and General Amos did this with comments he made. I mean, they screw it up. When you're in charge of the organization, it's court-martialing people. You can't. And Admiral Richardson, the outgoing CNO, man, he fucked it up. It's like, are you kidding me? Isn't there somebody that's supposed to be in charge? Nikki Rigsby, the stepmother of Dakota Rigsby, who helped raise him since he was 4, who died in the Fitzgerald collision, said she was deeply saddened, disappointed, and hurt by the news. That news was that the commander of the ship, Bryce Benson, and the tactical action officer who fights the ship, Lieutenant Natalie Combs, would not be court-martialed because of inappropriate actions by the CNO. Instead, the Secretary of the Navy will issue administrative letters of censure reprimanding them for their alleged roles in the maritime disaster. Quote, this is how the Navy wraps it up too. The cases are being dismissed for legal reasons that impede the continued prosecution of either officer. The Navy remains committed to keeping the faith with you through transparency and open communication. This is the same Navy that issued an all-nav after somebody leaked the initial report that was way worse than that. And I've been told by people who know people that actually what happened will never see the light of day because it's too bad. So, I mean, it's unbelievable that here's another case that's not going to go forward because of the misconduct of the admiral in the handling of this shit, right? And this is what happened with General Amos. And whoever their lawyers are that advise them, I mean, those guys should be fired too. Number two, Taliban announced spring offensive amid Afghan peace push. The Taliban think they're going to win this thing, just so you know. Yeah. Number three, Navy judge says SEAL charged with war crimes threatened to kill teammate who turned him in. A recently obtained judge's ruling reveals three Navy SEALs have claimed to have seen SEAL Chief Edward Gallagher fatally stab a non-combative, wounded ISIS fighter who had been brought in for medical treatment during a 2017 deployment to Iraq. This is the case that is causing so much consternation. That evening, one witness said he heard Gallagher threaten to kill anyone who spoke about it, the judge's ruling states. Navy Judge Captain Aaron Ruff, R-U-G-H, how do you pronounce that? Hugh, Brew, Ruh, I don't know. How about Captain? Issued a ruling in January that lays out, quote, findings of facts that include previously undisclosed details in the case against Gallagher. Rue, the captain, judge, whose name I can't pronounce, wrote that these findings of fact support his decision to keep the seal confined. The Union Tribune obtained the ruling this week. Now I see, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw. You know, so it's like, oh, why would they, it's so onerous that they're keeping him confined, blah, 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 blah. Right? The findings include accounts of three witnesses to the stabbing, the accounts of three more SEALs who say they saw Gallagher shoot two civilian non-combatants, an old man and a young girl, and other details alleging threats to potential witnesses by Gallagher. Oh, so maybe he should stay in the brig. My bad. Number four, F-35A crash. Japan's defense minister addresses security concerns, procurement plans. Japan has started combing the seafloor of the Pacific Ocean for the wreckage of its F-35A Lightning Joint Strike Fighter 2 days after the aircraft crashed at sea into the waters off northern Japan. But I thought that I read last week that they found it. The area is estimated to be about 5,000 feet deep. The pilot, identified as 41-year-old Major Akinori Hosomi, is still missing. Number five, commentary. Pentagon's Jason Group is not worth mourning. Yeah, I don't know. Jason and the Argonauts, all that kind of bullshit. Anyway. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Alex Hollings, the one and only, will join us. Don't touch that dial, more of a All-Marine Radio. A happy version of All-Marine Radio because we're broadcasting live from Studio One. So don't touch that dial. Alex Hollings joins us next in hour two of a 2-hour program today. Remember, starts tomorrow, an hour later.